Hey up everybody, my name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles, our lessons in confidence. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about writing lyrics and how if you start writing lyrics with the intention of making them as good as possible, you're going to end up making uninspired, kind of phony, artificial works. And they're going to end up not being good just because of the amount of effort that you've put into trying to make them good has kind of given you the opposite effect than you were trying to achieve. So writing lyrics is a very sort of odd thing to do because it's a very personal thing to put lyrics into song, even if it's about just a very like basic topic or it's about, you know, kind of a fun topic, or, you know, it doesn't have to be the deepest thing ever to still be quite personal, because what you write songs about is kind of a glimpse into your own personality and who you are and what you prioritize and what you see as worth discussing in music in general. And so I feel like, you know, there's so many great artists out there, there's so many great lyricists out there, there's so many wonderful lyrics. I think my favorite lyric at the moment, I've been listening to a lot of Akala, like the Fire in the Booths, and from I think it's Fire in the Booth 3, he's got one lyric which is what is it, they put their bodies in the sand to make us look bad, they put bullets in their head to make us feel sad. And it's kind of talking about like the US occupation of various Arab countries like Iraq and that kind of thing. And you know, that on its own as a lyric, I think is just genius, because he's not overthought it, he's not gone super deep into it, but obviously he has a message that he is trying to get across. And throughout most of his lyrics, you know, there's some parts where he rhymes the same word with itself a couple times, but what matters more than just the individual rhymes and the individual pieces is the overall collective whole. And I think that's what's important when you go into writing lyrics, is to try and think about it not in terms of this line and that line and that kind of thing and how they interconnect, but to think of it as a whole piece and a whole song. What are you trying to achieve with your song? What are you trying to say with it? Are you trying to make a song about quite a serious subject like the US occupation of Iraq, or are you trying to make a fun little song about, I don't know, potatoes or something? Because those two different things are going to give you very different results. You know, you're going to get a different song out of those different things, quite obviously. And I think it's important to write honestly rather than to try and replicate what you see and to try and replicate what you think is good, because you're never going to be able to achieve that same thing. Right? Because you can only achieve what you can achieve. You can only achieve what is true and honest to yourself. Because all of these artists out there, right, they are all writing, like the ones that you really aspire to be and the ones that you look up to and respect. If they're great lyricists, they're not sat down and worrying about how to make the best lyrics ever. They're not trying to make deep lyrics. They're not trying to make insightful lyrics. They're trying to tell a story or to try and convey a simple or complicated idea in their own words and in their own way and convey their worldview on this specific topic, right? And that's what you need to do. You need to write honestly rather than trying to write well, because it's much more interesting to have a badly written song that is earnest and clearly trying to do something rather than a song that is artificial and sort of phony about a topic maybe you don't particularly care about, or it's a topic that you do care about, but you've spent so much time refining and trying to figure out the perfect way to rhyme this line with that line, or to try and find the perfect word here, the right syllable count or whatever, that you end up getting into that. And then you get so into the individual trees that you end up losing the forest around you, right? So if you end up doing this, and I did it with my last album, Decisions in Another Language, I would spend months and months refining these lyrics, right? And I think the songs where I did that are probably the worst written songs on the album. And the best written songs are the ones that I did in one or two drafts. You know, you do one draft where, you know, most of the ideas come down, and then you do a little bit of tweaking because you realize, oh, actually that doesn't work. Or, oh, that bit doesn't quite work there. And it's when you've still got it all like seared in your mind because the burst of creativity has still just hit you and it's still wearing off. That's when you want to refine your lyrics. And at a certain point, you need to just put a line under it and just say, right, I've done my lyrics. These are the lyrics, okay? I'm not going to mess with them anymore. Because the more you do it, the more you start to be discontent with your own writing. And the more you're discontent with your own writing, the harder it will be to write good lyrics no matter what. Because you know what? Most of the artists that you like, right, probably sat down and the thing that you respect them for the most, the song that you like the most, they probably at some point, you know, close to the album's release, maybe thought, oh, these lyrics aren't that good. you know, like one of my favorite albums is Animals by Pink Floyd, and I can't remember the exact line of it, but like, it's about the sheep following one another into the Valley of Steel, and it's kind of talking about like the industrialization process and people going into work, like the factory and stuff like that. I think, anyway, I'm not entirely. But then part of why music and lyricism is so good, because it's poetry, and poetry is inherently slightly subjective, and it's subjective within the realms of the topic at hand. You know, it might not necessarily be about that particular part, it might be about a different particular part, but it's got you to think about the overall topic of the song in question. And that's what lyrics are good at. That's what poetry is for. It's to try and get you to think about whatever the artist wants you to think. And even if you come out of a slightly different interpretation than what the artist originally set out to do, to make you think, you've still managed to get something whole from that song. And if you can get that, then you can do it too. Because all you need to do is just write honestly. All you need to do is just write what matters to you in a very deep and true sort of way, and try and get that out to the world. And that might not necessarily mean you have to bear your heart and soul out over a fucking like song about, I don't know, how your father's died or something like that. It can be something more, you know, simple and quaint, because that can also be true to you. If you've got, I don't know, like, it's very nice to have a cigarette on the balcony and look out over a grand vista. Make a song about that if that's something you enjoy doing. Make a song about football if you enjoy football. Like, these are little things. There's a guy at the shop near me, right, who I've been saying hello to, and he's been saying hello to me for years, right? I don't know his name, and I feel a little bit bad about that, because I feel like I really should know his name, and he's a really nice guy, but it's way too late now for me to ask, hey, sorry, what is your name, by the way? I'm Josh. Nice to meet you. Even though I've been saying hi to you for 5 years, you know? And I'd like to make a song about that. It's not a big topic, but it's a quaint topic, but it's very deep and true to me, because it's my personal experience. And I think as long as it's your personal experience that you're putting down earnestly, other people will relate to it, because other people will probably have this same experience. They've probably gone to a shop and been saying hello to the same person for ages, and then gone back and realized, like, hang on, I don't know that guy's name. What's his name again? Oh shit, I don't know. You know, and you know, you can write about whatever you want to write about. Are you a deeply political sort of person? Then you can write about that. Are you a deeply philosophical person? Then you can write about that. Are you someone that is more interested in the world in a material, realistic sort of sense? Then you can write from that perspective. So write from whatever perspective fits you and feels true to you, rather than trying to replicate something that you're not, because that's what you consider to be good. Okay, because you're never going to be your heroes. You can only be yourself, because your heroes had heroes that they wanted to be, and they didn't become those people. Like David Gilmour, for instance, was inspired by people like Chuck Berry, and he's very not similar to Chuck Berry in the slightest. But I imagine when he was a kid, and when he was first learning guitar, before he got really successful, he would have thought, oh, I'd love to be like Chuck Berry. And now he's nothing like Chuck Berry, but he's incredibly successful because he's doing what's true to him. Right? So as long as you do what's true to you, you will find your own success, because it's your story, that your life is your own story. And if you can tell it in a way that's interesting for other people, then you can get other people on board. And if you can get other people on board, then you're clearly doing something right. And you can just keep experimenting. Say you try writing a quaint song and it feels like it didn't quite feel right. Then you might try something else, and you might try that and it feels like it's not quite right. And then you keep trying stuff until you find what works for you. And when you find what works for you, then you have carved out a space for yourself in the world of music. And once you have done that, then you can get into figuring out where your boundaries are, push the boundaries, find new things and experiment. Because it's always good to experiment. It's always good to try new things. And it's always good to, and you don't necessarily have to write exactly what you know about. As long as you are aware of what could potentially be seen as naive, then you're free to do kind of whatever you want. And hell, even possibly the naivety could be an interesting aspect towards the song or the album, whatever it is that you seek to make. And whatever it is that you want to write about is probably more universal than you think. Even if you write in extreme specific, say you're a very analytical, logistical person, you can write from that perspective. You can write from all kinds of different perspectives, right? Now, I got sent this picture meme thing, right, by someone, and I just want to get it up for you, because it's a load of different ways of interpreting the same sort of lyrics, right? It's the same way of seeing things in different colors, essentially. So let me just get it up. So it's a brief history of modern art and poetry, and it's got Impressionism. Roses sway in softened reds, violets swim in murky blues, sugar sparkles in the light, blurring into golden hue. Right? Now you've got pop art. Roses go blam, violets go pow, sugar is cool, you are so wow. Right? And then you've got conceptual art. Roses are red, coated in blood, a deer's severed head drips from above. Right? And you've got pointillism, which I don't really know what that is. Roses have a black spot, you're spotty too. Sugar is granulated, I'm dotty for you, right? So those were incredibly different ways of approaching the very simple roses are red, violets are blue sort of thing, right? So you've got so many different ways of actually approaching the same topic. And you can try different ways of approaching the same topic. It's not like you can't write about the same topic more than once. If you've written about a topic and you feel like you didn't quite get it the first time, you're free to try again. You know, it's not like you have to pay to write. It's not like you can only do a subject so many times. You can do it until you're bored of it, right? Because there's so many, like, look at Taylor Swift. How many times has she written about boyfriends and stuff like that? People might make the odd joke about her doing that, but if it feels true to her, then why can't she do that? Why can't she do whatever she wants to do? The same way that you're free to do whatever you want to do, right? Because people criticized her for writing about the same topic again and again. She's one of the most successful people in the universe, right? So you're free to do exactly that as well. You're free to write about whatever you want to write about, because it's better to write honest lyrics than it is to write good lyrics. It would be much more interesting to write a series of bad lyrics that are maybe naive and not very well put together, that don't necessarily make a lot of sense, but are true and honest to who you are, than it is to write this kind of grand sort of thing that doesn't feel like you, but you're trying to be something that you're not, right? But sure, maybe the lyrics themselves have some kind of deep message behind them, or maybe you're writing about some big grand topic like religion or something like that, but you don't know how to convey those topics. And sure, maybe you managed to, you know, do a load of Googling and find a load of words that you don't like. I used to Google fucking random pretentious sort of words, like big words, so that I could put them into songs. And I realized just how stupid and pointless that was, because these words mean nothing to me, right? They have meanings, but to me, I've never used these words, right? I don't go around saying big fancy words like that. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. But you know the kind of words, you know the kind of words that, you know, someone says them to you and then you kind of have to Google them and go, oh, that's what it's about, right? Like pontificate, right? I don't really say pontificate, and I put it in a song. Why did I do that? It means nothing to me, but I was trying to convey a meaning anyway, right? So I think that's going to be the overall message of the video, is that don't go and try and write some grand thing that isn't you. Instead, just write what is you, and you'll find your conscious voice will define itself because of that. So thank you very much for watching this video, everybody. Hope you have a good rest of the day. Please let me know what your best lyric was, and why was it your favorite lyric? Why did you like this lyric the most? And was it necessarily about a topic that was the most near and dear to your heart? Or was it actually about a topic that isn't like the most important thing to you, but you do care about it? And you still wanted to write about it? Because you don't have to write about only the stuff that matters to you, like more than anything else in the universe, because that would get a bit repetitive after a while. There's only so many times you can write about, you know, all the problems in the universe, or like the grandest topics around there, or like the thing that matters the most to you. Sometimes it's fun to just write a little song, and sometimes it's fun to write a big song about a grand idea, right? So take care, everybody. Hope you have a good rest of the day, and yeah, bye-bye. On the way here, I stepped in a bog. Great. It fucking stinks. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles, Lessons in Confidence. And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about your project, whatever it is you're working on at the moment. If it's some kind of creative work, whether it be a film, whether it be an album, whether it be a book, whether it be painting, whatever it is, right? You've been working on it for a long time. You've been putting your heart and soul into it. You've really put, honestly, you want this to be perfect because you've been trying so hard. And, you know, you put so much work into it that surely you deserve a good product out of it. So I feel like, if you've been spending sort of maybe months on a single project, or maybe even potentially years on a single project, you know, there's this idealized version of the thing that you're working on that you see in your head. that is your vision and that's what you're trying to get this thing towards, because it's a work in progress, you're working towards getting it up here, which is where you want it to be. You want it to be in this completed state that you see it in, exactly the way that you see it, whatever that might be, right? But say you were to get it to that point, is it going to be a masterpiece? Is it going to be like a really, really great thing? Is it going to be even necessarily above average in terms of quality? Not necessarily. You can't guarantee that. Just because you have managed to fulfill your vision doesn't mean that you have managed to make something of high quality. But do you need to make something of high quality? Not necessarily, because I feel like as long as you have made something, then you are already doing better than most people out there. And you know, so many people would love to make a film, and so many people would love to like make a song or whatever, but they don't. The difference is you do. Now, how is that useful to you in this present moment when you've got this project that you've been working really hard on? Maybe you've been spending money on it. Maybe you've got people waiting on you, relying on you, that you know that you're going to disappoint at some point with this project. How do you kind of grapple with that? Well, think of it like this. Think of all the films out there that you've watched and think of some of the best times you've ever had watching a film. Is it necessarily that the best film, the best time you had watching a film was the same as the best film that you've ever watched? As in, you might have had a better time, a better experience watching a lower quality film because of the circumstances that were in your life. Maybe, I don't know, you were in a relationship with, like, I don't know, your high school crush that you really, like, you know, it never really got to that stage, but you really liked her, and this was the closest you ever were able to be with her. Maybe you've got a nice memory of it because of that. Or maybe, I don't know, you watched it at a New Year's party with a few of your friends, and like this was when you were 15, you got drunk for the first time, and you know, maybe you threw up halfway through the film, you don't even really remember most of it, but still, it was one of the best times of your life. Or maybe, I don't know, you listen to this particular album, it's not even a great album, but you listen to it on acid and it turns you like that. You know, you could have all different reactions to art that isn't the highest of quality, but you can get a high quality reaction from it because of the circumstances that are in your life that the film or the bit of art that you're engaging with cannot control. So you are basically just putting yourself in that same pool with every other bit of work out there. The same way that Mr. Beast is a series of video, the same way that The Sopranos is a series of video. Gone with the Wind is a film, the same way that Love on a Leash is a film. These are both films, and they are both pretty much identical in regards to how, like, what they are as a product. The difference is the specifics of it. They're different. If you were to use it as like a product, like one is a Porsche, one is a, you know, not even a Toyota Prius, like a, I don't know, a secondhand, rutty old Eastern European bloody like Soviet kind of car that doesn't even have an engine in it anymore. It's just run by a dog running on a leash in front of it that's pulling it along at like 0.5 miles an hour. I don't think a dog could pull a car. Maybe if you've got a sled pack of dogs, you can maybe do it if you had the engine on neutral or something like that. Anyway, my point is that they're both films in the same sort of way, but and in the same regard, you can have experiences watching both of them. Say you sit down with your favorite person and watch Gone with the Wind, right? Are you going to have a better time than if you sit down with your favorite person and watch, I don't know, Love on a Leash, right? They're both films, but it's the person that you're here with that is the interesting, that is making the experience so great. It's the fact that you went to the cinema and watched a film. Have you ever watched a crap film in a cinema and you've walked out of it? And that little experience on its own is a positive thing in and of itself because it gives you something to think about and mull over. I remember when I watched Dune, I didn't walk out of it, but I remember being there with the person I was watching it with and feeling really awkward because I didn't know whether like they were enjoying it, because I most certainly was not. I was bored to fucking tears by that film. I really don't like that film. At the end of the film, I looked over at the person I was watching it with in the cinema, and we both gave each other this kind of look like, what the hell was that? And at that moment, I felt a really good bit of euphoria, because now we spent the next sort of hour bitching about different parts of the film. And that was a really fun experience to have with that person. It was a connection point that allowed us to get closer together, to be closer as a you know, group of friends, as like two people forming a more of a bond, right? It was able to do that. But If it had been a better film, what would we have had to say? We would have had, oh, that was a great film. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I mean, I really liked the themes. Yeah, I really liked the themes too. It was interesting how they kind of were talking about the various things that the film was about. Yeah, and obviously, like, you know, you want to try and be positive about things, but it is quite fun to sort of sit and have a bit of a bitch about these kind of things. But my main point is you don't have to make something of higher quality, because someone will have a beautiful experience engaging with your piece of work, no matter what its quality level is. And if you make something bad, that doesn't mean that you're a failure, because it means that someone can have a really positive experience having fun with your film. Even if they're pointing and laughing at it, and laughing at the acting, and laughing at the cinematography, and laughing at the sound, whatever, they're having fun with it. And isn't that what you set out to do? You set out to entertain, or to make people think, or to engage people's brains. Is that not why you set out to on this path to make stuff, whatever that might be? So why should you get yourself all down about what quality your work is, when what's more important is creating these experiences for people and creating this space for yourself where you can do that? So I feel like that's about everything I've kind of got to say. Is what you're going to make a masterpiece? Is it going to be a masterpiece? No. Does it need to be a masterpiece? No. Should it be a masterpiece? It'd be nice if it was, but... You know, if it, say, like, I know loads of masterpieces. Like, I don't know, A Clockwork Orange is a masterpiece to me. I'm not always in the mood to watch A Clockwork Orange. I've seen it maybe 3 times, but I'm not always in the mood for it, you know? But, say, Father Ted, right? I think we would all agree that A Clockwork Orange is better. It's better filmed. It's more, like, you know, better acted than Father Ted. It's hard to compare because it's apples and oranges, but it's, this is a better thing. A Clockwork Orange than Father Ted. But I have more fun with Father Ted. So does that mean that A Clockwork Orange is better? Not necessarily. I've watched Father Ted a hell of a lot more times than I've watched Clockwork Orange. And I can return to it. It can be my comfort thing. And that's kind of beautiful in and of itself. You don't have to go out and make the most challenging piece of high art out there. You can make something that's just nice. That's just nice to sit down and watch. Maybe make something for people, you know, while they're eating their food. You know how people like to eat food and watch YouTube? You know, why don't you figure out some way of tapping into that and, you know, having people eat while, you know, you're sitting there doing whatever it is that you do, your little film or your skits or your music or your, I don't know, rambles or your, I don't know, video essays or whatever it is that you want to do. You can do all of those sort of things. But I feel like to get bogged down in perfectionism and to release nothing is worse than to release a load of shit, because I would much rather make the worst thing ever than make nothing at all. So that's going to be it from me. Thank you so much for watching this. Please leave your comments down in the thing below about whether you agree with this, the general point that I'm making in this video. And have you made a masterpiece? Let me know, I suppose. Well, you wouldn't be able to say if it was a masterpiece, because, you know, then you'd be sort of called like arrogant. Have you made a load of shite? Well, let me know and we can have some fun with it together, I suppose. Because I've made loads of shite before. And I'll probably do a video about that at some point. So take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Oh, I have to get up. I'm in a really... There's also this thing here. I think it's for, like, construction sites, you know, like scaffolding and stuff. I think it holds bits in. So if anyone wants one, it's right here. Yeah? Oh. Come on, get up. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. Now, this shot is currently being filmed at 20,000 ISO, at f-stop 1.4 or 1.8, something like that. It's, I'm kind of cranking everything to the max. It's much brighter on the screen than it is in real life. In real life, I cannot see very much. It's not completely dark yet, but in about 20 minutes, it is going to be pitch black. So I thought I would take this time to sort of show you what this camera can do at really high ISO, and that your camera can kind of do this sort of thing as well. If you've got a DSLR or some kind of various camera, you can make some kind of stylistic decision with regards to your footage. and you can make things look pretty, because what prettiness is isn't necessarily what makes something look professional. You don't have to look professional to look pretty, and you don't have to look pretty to look professional. There's a lot of professional sort of commercial kind of stuff out there that looks really, really crap, but it doesn't really matter because it looks professional. And what you're doing is kind of the same thing, but in the reverse, in that it doesn't matter if it doesn't look professional because it looks pretty and it looks you and it looks distinct. And I think that's what's more important. If you can get an interesting shot, get the shot. Fuck whether the ISO is 20,000. Fuck whether you have to set it to f1.8. I'm trying to make it so it swings more this way, so that it... I should really be facing the camera, please. So I'm trying to make it so that it... swing sort of this way, because I know if it's going that way, because of the f-stop, the way the f-stop works is that it makes the focus distance, so like that, for instance, that could be the focus distance. All the stuff within between my two hands would be in focus, right? If that was, say that was f1.8, this would be f1.2, this would be f2.5, and then if you had like f20, this would be in focus and the trees behind me would be in focus. So you can do things however you want, but the sacrifice that comes with f-stop and having a higher f-stop is that it closes the lens slightly so that it can actually get that effect. If you're filming with a really high f-stop, you might have a high field of focus, but your shot is going to be darker as a result, which means filming in times like this is going to be a lot more difficult. If you ever notice indie films, right, there's a film called Before We Go, which is not really an indie film because it stars Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans, but the way that it's shot is kind of shot like an indie film. It's shot with very, very narrow fields of focus, very, very, like f2.0. It's probably with T-stops, actually, because they probably use better quality lenses. But the point is the backgrounds in all of them are incredibly filled with bokeh, which is the out-of-focus kind of lights, the little circles that come from a light source being out of focus in the background. That's the look of that film, but it's very bright, and a lot of it is filmed quite late at night. And the fact that it's got a low f-stop or t-stop, as it probably is, allows the filming situations to be a lot more flexible. They probably didn't need as many overbearing lights coming from above, bit less big professional halogen bulbs and all that sort of stuff. They probably still had a few, don't get me wrong, because it isn't it's not a real indie film. It's not like something that's like made for no money whatsoever. It was made for like millions of dollars, I think like $5 million. I don't remember the exact numbers of it. But the point is that you could film things that way if you wanted to. If you wanted to get stuff that was quite late at night, right? You can do stuff like that. You can also crank up the ISO. And because it's quite grainy at the moment, the reason I went with Canon, this is a Canon C100 Mark I that this is being filmed on at the moment. The reason I went with Canon is because I quite like the grain at high ISO. It's got, I mean, this is a bit too extreme even for my liking, but it's got quite a nice analog sort of look. The reason I went for Canon over a Sony, because I was looking at getting a Sony A7 Mark II, the reason I went for this over that was because the ISO grain that came out the Sonys and the color sort of science of it, it felt like it was giving quite digital, quite nasty, quite harsh grain compared to this, which I think is a bit nicer and a bit softer and a bit more workable. So it kind of gives you almost a bit of an old nostalgic kind of feel. So I feel like you can do a lot more with your equipment than you might originally think. And it doesn't necessarily matter that it's not the most incredible high production value out there. What matters is the content that you're putting inside of that shot. Make sure that that content within the shot is interesting. Make sure the characters are engaging. Make sure that what's going on is interesting. Make sure the dialogue is captivating. All of these things are far more important than what's going on, right? Look at David Brent in The Office, right? That thing is shot on these really crappy tiny cameras, and you look at the footage on that, it's terrible. You could probably get better looking footage using your iPhone 15, 16, whatever the newest one is, right? But it's one of the most successful shows in Britain. And for the past 20 years, all sitcoms pretty much have been trying to rip off The Office because what was on the screen was so captivating. That's what's important. It's what's on the screen, not the screen itself, right? And I thought I would come out here and film in the weirdest of worst circumstances just to try and get that point across. Now, I know this isn't the most interesting content out there, but if you're watching at this point, obviously something is going right. And it's not the fact that the camera is graining the hell out. That's what the image feels like right now. If the image had a sound, it would be like that, right? But why does it matter? It doesn't, is the way I see it. You can have a lot of fun with the look of your film. And if you're willing to sacrifice the professionalism, you're a lot more free to be creative. So I think that's going to be it for this video. Thank you so much for watching. Can I face the camera when I'm doing my outro, please? Okay, well, I guess I'm facing it. Hang on. So thank you so much for watching, everybody. Hope you have a great rest of the day. Okay. And take care. Love you all. Leave your comments below about how you've managed to use your equipment to do some quite weird things and that you thought maybe you can never do with your camera or your sound or whatever it is that you might have. In general, really, you can experiment with the look because it's still the same world out there at the end of the day. It's just how you film it. So, yeah. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Oh. I'm going to push it like that so get something kind of... That's what I wanted. I wanted this. Woo. 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 Yeah, this is kind of how I wanted it to look, but a bit more like this. There we are. There we are. That's what I wanted. Back and forth like that, not up and down like that. That makes it go in and out of focus. So, yeah, that's kind of what I was after. Yeah. Click the videos, by the way. This one's quite good, actually. There we are. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence, and today I want to talk to you a little bit about the fact that I can't sing. I really, really can't sing. I've never had professional lessons. Yeah, that's basically as good as it's going to get, right? And for a long, long time, I was making music, and I was making instrumental music because I was sort of told by other people that I can't sing and I shouldn't try to sing. And there's this idea that if you can't sing, you're never going to be able to sing. And it's kind of a God-given talent that certain people have and other people don't. And, you know, for a long time I did believe that, and I believed, I can't sing, so why should I try to sing? And I kind of started thinking about it more and more, and I realised I kind of want to sing. I have lyrics that I want to get out there, I have messages within the lyrics that I want to put out there. Even if it's just your bog standard, you know, like a love song, or you know, a song about the end of the world, or just, you know, there's the standard stuff that everyone writes songs about. I want to approach those things in my way, with my voice, and why should I silence my voice just because I can't hit a C note? Because I started to think recently, some of my favourite bands, right? The Sex Pistols, Johnny Rotten, he can't sing. Oasis, he can't really sing. And then again, oh, maybe. Like, that wasn't too much worse than what Liam Gallagher actually does. But look at Liam Gallagher, one of the most famous musicians in the entire world. He's extremely successful because of his lack of singing talent. Now, I'm not saying that he can't sing. Obviously, he can sing, and I imagine he's had some training and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying this to, you know, downplay the talent that goes into Oasis songs. I really like Oasis. I love the first two albums that they did. And, you know, they're an inspiration to me, particularly in regards to singing, because I looked at Liam Gallagher and I kind of thought, well, hang on, if he's doing that with his voice and he's made something out of his voice, why should I not get my voice out there, because someone might like my voice the same way that people turned out that they like Liam Gallagher's voice, and it's, you know, the same way it turned out people like Johnny Rotten's voice. And when they first started, I imagine that they were told time and time and time again, Johnny, Liam, sit down, I've got something to tell you. All right, what have you got? Guys, you really need to pack in the singing because you just can't do it, okay? Look, I've heard you try and I've heard you fail, so just pack it in now before you embarrass yourself. And, you know, I thought about it and I thought, sure, some of my songs might be embarrassing because my singing isn't high quality. Sometimes I'm off key. I don't even know how to sing in key. I've realized that I think I'm like an F natural generally. So if I write a song that's in F or F sharp, I can kind of do it. But if I write a song that's in, say, B or in, I don't know, D, I can't really sing that quite as well. So I started realizing what my strengths are and playing towards them and playing towards what I can do. I realized that I'm okay at doing more of a talky style of singing. And so I approached songs by doing a bit of a talky style of singing, you know, instead of trying to go, hey, why has it gotta go that way? You know, I can't sing that kind of thing. I can't do all the, I can't do that kind of thing, all right? And I've accepted that. But that's not to say that there's not something that I can do within the singing sphere, something that I can do that can put my voice out there into the music, and then the music can go out into the world. And you'll have that as well. There's probably been people out there that have said, say if you're learning the guitar, you can't play the guitar, so pack it in. You can't play the piano, so pack it in. You can't do this, so stop. Don't stop. Don't let these people tell you that you're not good enough just because you're not experienced enough or talented enough at this present moment. Because the only way you're going to get to that point where you will be talented and experienced enough is if you keep failing. If you keep failing, eventually you'll go from having 100% fail rate to 99% fail rate to 90% fail rate to 50% fail rate to 30% fail rate. And eventually you'll be hitting basically every single time. And that's the way that you should try. Just keep doing and allow yourself to be shit sometimes, because you're not always going to make the fucking next magnum opi. You're never going to make everything perfect every single time. So don't try to do that. Just try to express yourself, because that's the point of this. That's the point of making art in the first place, because you have something that you want to say. And it's not about the wording of the way you say it. It's about the core of the message itself. And if people resonate with it, then they resonate with it. And it doesn't matter how you worded it, because whatever you're doing clearly works, right? So what I would say to you, if you're trying to sing, if you're learning to sing, and you know, you're failing at the moment, maybe you're a bit like off key, maybe you're a bit flat, maybe you sound a bit monotone as you keep singing, I wouldn't tell you to stop. I wouldn't tell you to pack it in and just be an instrumental artist, because that's what I did. I did that for about 6 years. But towards the end of it, I do enjoy making instrumental music, but I started to feel like the music itself was empty, and people kept telling me that the music was screaming for vocals. They were screaming for some vocals on them. And I heard that exact phrase time and time and time again. And I kind of thought, well, I can't sing, so I can't do anything with it. And with the album I released recently called Decisions of Another Language, I was originally going to get a friend of mine to sing everything on it, right? Because he can sing and I can't sing. And I started to think, well, hang on, this album is an incredibly personal thing to me. And it's about a topic that's really quite close to me that I resonate with. And it would feel almost a little bit empty and void of that intention if someone else was to sing it. The same way that, you know, Bob Dylan singing his stuff, it's his personal experience. And if someone comes along and covers it, it's brilliant that they can add the instrumental factors to it, and they have their own way of interpreting the music and the lyrics of it to fit their general life. You know, maybe Bob Dylan wrote, I don't know, say a breakup song. You know, everyone's gone for a fucking breakup. So that other person, Jimi Hendrix, might have come along. I can't remember what All Along the Watchtower is about. It's not about a breakup, that's for sure. But whatever it's about, Jimi Hendrix could have looked at it and gone, oh, I really resonate with this. I'm going to do something with it. And then he sings on it. And the cover is just as good as the original, in my opinion. And even though it's not the original artist's intent, it's the message that comes from the art itself that is what's interesting here. Because the art itself has the message, and it's up to the audience or the other person that's covering it or whatever to take that message and develop it for themselves and to then present it to other people. And then those people can get something from it. Have you ever listened to a song and like thought the lyrics were about one thing that was quite relevant to your life? And then you've gone on Genius Lyrics or whatever, or you've read the Gatefold Sleeve, and you've kind of gone, oh, bloody hell, I didn't realize it was about that. You know? And then it kind of hits you. It's like, this song is actually not what I thought it was. It's actually something completely different. But I still like it for what it is. It's not like I find out that this song's about a certain topic and then I'm just like, done with it now. It's not what I thought it was about. Okay. You know, so what you're trying to do with your music or whatever it is that you're trying to do that you might not have the talent for at this present moment doesn't mean that you're not going to have that talent at a certain point. And if you stop now, you're never going to have that talent. But if you just keep trying, keep falling flat on your face, keep getting up, keep trying, persistence, you will eventually get to a point where you have the talent that is needed to make a message resonate with an audience. Because, you know, you had just as intelligent a message I don't know, 10 years ago when you might have first started, right? Sure, maybe you were a bit more immature. Say your stuff was a bit more naive back then, right? I know some of my stuff from 10 years ago, I full on unlisted it. I've blocked it off of YouTube because I didn't really want people to see it anymore because I've decided, Jesus Christ, I don't think that stuff is, I don't want people to see that because it's just so naive and so immature. But there is something in those little messages that I was trying to get out there that if I had just had the talent to be able to meld the ideas that I was forming in my head into something that was more tangible to an external audience, then other people would have been able to come on board with it, right? And the further that you go in your journey as an artist or creator or whatever it is you want to call yourself, the better you're going to get no matter what, right? So take any major rock artist from the 60s or the 70s, right? Your Eric Clapton's, your David Gilmour's, your John Bonham, he's dead. All the greats, right? That still make music now, right? Your Neil Young's, your Bob Dylan's, right? All of these sort of various people, okay? They started off in the 60s and they were in their 20s or whatever, and now they're all in like their late 70s, early 80s, right? What one of their albums do you think is the one that they resonate with the most? I get the sense that when they finish their new album, whatever that might be, they think to themselves that this is the best thing that they have done yet, right? Or one of the best things that they've done yet. Or there's something in it that will resonate with an audience in a new way and they're trying new ideas and all that sort of stuff. And they are probably quite right with that, you know? But because they've had the worldwide fame and the glamour that's come from their peak era 50 years ago, people are always going to compare it to then. And they're always going to see some sense of nostalgia and comfort in the thing that they're really passionate about when they were a kid or when they were just growing up. Because, you know, your late teens, your early 20s, that's a really big developmental part of your life. And as you expand outwards from that, you start to stabilize and you start to understand who you are amongst the greater world. And I think artists in their early 20s and their late teens have something to say in that regard, because even though their message might be naive, even though they can't sing, even though their playing might be terrible, even though the camera work might be shite, they have that naivety and that aspiration to get somewhere because they are developing who they are in real time in front of you, the audience. And that itself is quite beautiful because that's the human expression that is necessitated by stuff like art in general. So if you go out there and just try, eventually it will resonate in some way. I might go back to those videos I made 10 years ago, right, and look at them with a bit more fondness than the way I look at them now, because I look at them at the moment and I think, Jesus Christ, these are fucking awful. But in 20 years I might come back to them and I might go, oh, I kind of had something with that. And it's almost kind of beautiful, the fact that I don't know what I'm talking about in this moment, the fact that I don't know how to convey my point properly, right? Because even now, I don't know how to necessarily convey this point coherently, right? This video is a little bit all over the place, but if you keep trying and you keep doing stuff, you will get better at this. I've noticed that I'm a lot better at enunciating my words and keeping the energy up in these videos now in December compared to when I first started this channel 2 months ago. I've gotten so much better at not having long gaps and pauses and ums and ahs and all that sort of stuff. And as I continue, I will only get better and better and better. It's a continual upward trajectory. As long as you don't get content in where you are now and you just think, right, well, I'm good enough now, I don't need to bother, sod you all, right? Then you will eventually get somewhere where you can transition to another period, right? So now I've transitioned into another period with this little metaphor here, right? And now when I'm in this little space behind the hedge, I am now able to do something that I maybe wasn't able to do on that side, like that, or just chucking shit just over it like that. I can throw stuff out into the void, right? And the more stuff that I throw out into the void, the more stuff will eventually have a chance of being picked up, because the void isn't an infinite place. It's finite in some regard, because you look at the scale of the universe, right? And you look at the scale of yourself within that. And I'm not talking about the literal universe. I'm talking about the human creative field. Every film, every album, every song that's been lost to time, every single thing that has ever existed that has been made by someone with deep love and passion, right? You're adding yourself to that long, long list of people, right, that are trying. And as long as you stay on that list of people that are trying and don't just become one that just sort of goes like this, right, sick of this now, right, what do you want? Whatever, there you are. Yeah, do you want some more? Okay, here's a compilation album, whatever. you know, that kind of thing, right? You will eventually get to a point where you are satisfied with where you are, and then you'll stay in that little satisfied space for a time, and then you'll stop being satisfied with yourself because you'll feel stagnant, because you're not improving anymore. And in that time, you will actually be internally improving because you've gone through that slow cycle of slowly being less and less content with your ability. And then eventually you'll get to a point where, like, I need to start improving now. And that's when your talent will really skyrocket up to the next level, and then the next level. And you'll repeat this process time and time and time and time again. Okay? If you keep trying this, the more times that you go through that little cycle of getting happy with where you are, and then getting dissatisfied with where you are, and then improving, and then getting happy with where you are again, and then getting dissatisfied with where you are again, time and time and time again, you will just continue to improve and develop. And that's what you want to be doing, right? You want to keep growing. And so with me learning to sing, right, I'm not learning to sing by, like, actually going to take lessons and all that stuff. I'm just singing by singing and just getting my voice out there and figuring out what it's good at and what it's not good at. I've recently learned that I sing best in the key of F, right? So I'm going to start making more songs maybe in the key of F so that I can gravitate towards a space where my voice sounds more natural, right? And I'll start making songs towards a cadence which works for me. I've realized that I work best when I'm speaking a little bit softer in my lyrics and so on, rather than trying to shout my lyrics. So, for instance, I wouldn't make a metal song where I do the vocals on them because I don't think my voice would be quite fit for that. But someone else might have the opposite thing where they are really good at the screaming, but they're not really good at the soft-spoken stuff. But they need to realize that, and they need to figure that out. And once they do figure that out, they'll manage to get to that point where they can actually get to a space where they are comfortable and they can do stuff in that little space. And they're able to, like, you don't want to be stuck in this hedge. You want to be out here in the walkway, okay? Where I can move comfortably and I can transition from space to space like this. And I can just do this and I can just move back and forwards quite freely. Right? Figuring out where my boundaries are. This is my boundaries. These are my boundaries right here. I can't move further than this, but someone else can, right? And the more you do that, the more that you try and the more that you figure yourself out and your space within this world, the better you will become. So say you can't sing at the moment, right? Say that you are completely fucking inept at singing. Who gives a shit, right? Do you care? I'm sure you do, because you don't want people to judge you for it. But say people do judge you for it, right? Do you think they actually care? Do you think that it's weighing on their mind for more than about 5 seconds that it takes for them to leave a comment or to tell you in person? Do you think they're sitting there lying in bed going, Jesus Christ, he can't sing. He really can't sing. I'm sure it'll come up at the pub one time when you're not there. It's like your name will come up and he goes, God, he thinks he can sing, but he just fucking can't. And then it'll move on to another topic, right? And sure, that might happen, but don't let that dissuade you from trying and expressing yourself. And don't be embarrassed about your expressions, because they're true and honest to who you are. And what people love is genuineness within you. They appreciate a genuine person rather than a fake person. Would you rather be friends with someone who's a little bit, like, not successful? You know, they're not doing super well. Maybe they've got some mental illness at the moment, but they're a really genuine person and they're really nice and they're really honest about who they are in the grander scheme of things? Or would you rather be friends with someone who has all the success, who has everything already figured out, but they're just phony? They feel like they're fake and they feel like they're just doing things for the sake of materialism. Which one of these people do you want to be friends with? Because I know fucking who I want to be friends with, and it's not him. He's a twat, whoever he is. This imaginary guy that's right here. He's a knobhead, right? So just be yourself, be genuine, be true to yourself. And if you can't sing, don't let that stop you. Don't let that get in the way, and continue. And thank you so much for watching this video. Have a great rest of the day. Love you all. You're brilliant. So, yeah. Take care, everybody.